Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Now, as we prepare for worship, let us pass the peace as we greet our neighbors next to us and across the aisle from us. Now let us continue our worship by singing our hymn of preparation. There are several announcements I want to call to your attention from the newsletter. First of all, on Wednesdays and Sundays, the gym is going to be open for pickup basketball, and all who are interested are invited to come and participate. Also, I want to call to your attention the No Frills Game Day. That will begin on Monday the 27th. Please come and bring friends to play cards or board games in the social hall. And that will be from about 2 to 5 on the 27th. Check your newsletter for time again and invite all. They're going to be board games, card games, just a no-frills games day to visit with each other. I also would like to urge you to look at your calendar and to plan ahead for the Apple Butter Festival that will take place up at Asbury Hills Camp. You have two options. One is the family retreat, which you are invited to come and bring your family. Excuse me. And also, if you want to come just for the day, you can only buy your lunch and buy apple butter. And you'll please call and let Kathy Kelly know if you are interested in the family retreat. Finally, I would like to ask you to turn to the back page of your bulletin. You will notice that we have a very special opportunity coming our way for Hot Wednesdays. On Wednesday, September the 29th, we will be hosting Susie McCall. Susie McCall is a missionary in Honduras, and she is also the founder of the Latin American Missionary and Bible Institute, LAM. She has an unbelievably incredible story to share with us, so we want to urge you to take advantage of this opportunity. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Will all who are able please stand and join me in the call to worship? God welcomes those whose hearts are sick. God's invitation comes to people whose joy is gone. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician who heals. Jesus Christ is our mediator, healer, and savior. Bring all your urgent prayers and honest laments. God is eager to offer salvation and open us to truth.
There's going to be a little change in our order of worship. If you would join with me in our invocation. Into this holy temple we have come, gracious God. This is not our church, but yours. We cannot claim our world. It is a trust from your hand. Our lives, our health, our length of days call forth our stewardship. We are managers, not owners. So we come to you now to give account and seek your further commands. Help us, O God, our salvation. Amen. You may be seated. As we know, the church is about God and it's also about people. And we're always happy to have individuals to choose to come and be a part of our fellowship here at Main Street United Methodist Church. And that's what we have this morning. Arthur and I have a commonness among us. We both know his sister. And Karen is a minister in the United Methodist Church. And I saw her last week, and she said, or 2 weeks ago it was now, at the Bishop School of Ministry, and she said, "Well, you know, Arthur's not a member at Main Street." I said, "Did you know that's about to change?" So this morning, Arthur and he has two persons who come to stand by him this morning, Waylon and Madeline.
Waylon.
So I got it right. So we are. Which one's Waylon? And which one's Madeline? So Arthur, I ask you, as a member of the, if you would turn with me, please, to page 38 in your hymnal. Arthur, as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? If you will, say, "I will." If you would join with me as a congregation, members of the household of God, I commend Arthur that to your love and care, do all in your power to increase his faith, their faiths, and confirm their hopes and perfect them all in love. If you will accept that, will you join with me? We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. We welcome you as a member of Main Street. God bless you. Won't you make them welcome? You may be seated.
Today's epistle reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. You can find this on page 254 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. This reading is about prayer and the universal mission of the Christian faith. The writer states that prayer should be offered for all people, for civil leaders, and as an outgrowth of unity in the community. Listen now for God's word to us. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
We'd like to go to prayer at this time, and you see in our bulletin the various needs and prayers and concerns that we have this day. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious Lord, there is no time in our week that is more precious than this time of community worship. A time when the children sing and play and others take part in lifting their voices and wonderful anthem to you. Where the scriptures are read in our hearing and we affirm together that we are the body of Christ, the church. We thank you, Almighty God, for your Holy Spirit that indeed does speak to our hearts. It causes us to join together, to become a team, working together for the good of the kingdom of God here and now, wherever we may find ourselves, whatever you may ask us to do. So, dear God, we thank you again for each one here, for their life, for the talents that they bring to the church and to your kingdom. And we pray for these who have special needs, those at home, those listening to us by means of radio, those who are not able to get out of their home but have been such a vital part of the heritage here, and for those who come now to join with us, for those in the hospital, Lord God, touch all and be with our troops as they serve in faraway places, those who give of themselves to the community's well-being, those first responders, bless them. Ministers and missionaries, as they proclaim your holy word this day. For our bishops, as they lead the church, and our elected officials as they lead our great land. We pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Sisters, would you come, please? Let us pray.
thank you, Almighty God, for all the wonderful gifts. Thank you, dear God, for your blessings upon us and the privilege that we have to respond to those gifts by our contributions in this offering, by what we give and our talents, by our voices that we lift up in praise to you. Holy God, use these gifts for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Bless giver and gift and those who chose not to give. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message and the acolyte crucifer recognition.
First graders will go out for worship readiness.
Good morning. Boy, that was weak. Let's try it again. Good morning. Yeah, there you go. Boy, that sounded good. How many of you believe that Jesus came into this world? Let me see your hands. Okay. How many of you know some of the things that Jesus taught us? What are some of those? I need a microphone, I guess. What are some of those things? Anybody? Check. You want to tell me? Stand up.
Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Whoa, that's a good one. You want to tell? Anybody, if you want to come to the mic, you can.
I love Jesus.
You love Jesus, yeah. What else? Anybody else? There's one thing that Jesus said that this morning applies especially to what we're doing now. Want to try?
Honor the Lord your God.
Whoa, yeah. Anybody else? You can call it out. We might can hear it. Obey your mom and dad. Wow. Mom and dads might want to repeat that one. Okay. Love your family members. Wow. He said something one time when somebody says, you can't do that. Helping friends? Yeah. He said one time, says, don't let those ones come and bother Jesus. And Jesus said something to them. He said, let the little children come to me. Yeah, that's exactly it. And so this morning, that's what we're doing. You know, the church is a place where you belong. And Jesus has said so because he said to let you come to him. So this morning, we're embracing our children and embracing you in this time of special acknowledgement. So let us pray together a quick prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you that you said, let the children come to me. Amen. Don't leave.
I would like to ask all the returning acolytes and crucifers to come forward and step behind the chancel rail with me. The returning acolytes are Griffin Ballantyne, Jalen Hawkins, Peyton Joseph, Cecilia McGinnis, Mabry Rainey, Marissa Rogers, and Hampton Warner. And I would like to introduce our new acolytes and our new crucifers. Our new acolytes, our new acolytes are Lucas Bassett, Bennett Charles. Y'all come stand right here. Caroline Joseph, Wells Gunter, Leighton Logan, Mary Ashlyn Perkey, Wyland Radcliffe, and Olivia Rowland. And our new crucifers are Julia Baker and Joe Hartung. And I left off the returning crucifers. Sorry about that, y'all. Bob Bennett, Scurry Charles, Jay Logan, Skylar McGinnis, Carly Rogers, Haley Rogers, and Heron Warner. These children and youth have been through a training process and have been taught the importance of serving as an acolyte and crucifer. We as a congregation appreciate you and your dedication. At this time, we, the Congregation of Main Street, would like to present the new acolytes with a wooden cross that will be worn when you serve. And our crucifers are receiving a pewter cross to be worn when they serve. Scurry, would you go give Julia? There's Julia, right there. We appreciate your service and your dedication to the schedule and being here to serve when called. Thank you.
Join with me in our affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the reading of God's Word is found in the Gospel according to Luke. Begin reading with the first verse of the 16th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is it that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the possession away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill, make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, you will be entrusted to you the true riches. And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. This is one of those passages in the Bible that a lot of ministers might just choose to skip. It's a difficult passage to preach from, and I remember when I first arrived here as your pastor, and when they were studying the Bible parables, and this was one parable that we studied on one of those nights. Story was told about a mafia person. He decided that he needed a bookkeeper, and he didn't want to have a bookkeeper that could hear some of the shady dealings that were going on, so he decided to hire someone that was deaf. In the process, the mafia person discovered that some of his funds had been embezzled. So he decided that he would go get an interpreter to talk to this deaf bookkeeper so that he could find out where his money was. And so he brings in the interpreter, and the mafia person pulled his Glock out and he aims it at the head of his bookkeeper, and he gets the interpreter to say to him, "Where is my money?" The bookkeeper signs back to the interpreter that it is hid down behind Mr. Zell's barn, down in the ground, in a case wrapped in plastic. Mafia individual looks at the interpreter and says, "What did he say?" And the interpreter says, "You don't have the courage to pull the trigger." Yesterday, we were playing some golf, and there was an individual sitting at the bar where we were eating a couple of hot dogs, and we talked to him about where was he from. And he was from Pennsylvania. We talked to him a little bit, and I said, "Well, I guess you're a good Catholic fella." And he says, "No, I don't have a religious preference." And as we run around playing our game of golf, that topic of conversation would pop up on occasion. How can someone say they have no faith? They have no preference. And as we went along, our hearts were a little heavy as we thought about individuals who, for one reason or the other, seemingly can say, I don't have any faith. As I thought about this as I arrived home last night, and during the night reflected upon this passage, and I thought how many times I have heard people say, well, the reason that I don't go to church is because that there are so many hypocrites. And I thought about what constitutes a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone that is an actor. Their heart really doesn't believe what their actions are showing. What they do is not a reflection upon who they really are. As I thought about this passage and about how Jesus was speaking to us in light of this dishonest bookkeeper, manager, and I realized that in my life as a minister, and we were talking on the way back about how many churches I have pastored. In the 11 churches that I have pastored, I will tell you quite readily, I have known very, very few people that I would consider hypocrites. As a matter of fact, I seriously doubt any of you got up this morning from a warm bed or left a nice comfortable home and came to church and you were saying in your heart, well, I guess I need to go to Main Street and sit on the pew so I can look holy. I doubt that anybody that is singing in the choir or played the handbells this morning were up here and giving of their time so that they could just look good. So you understand that that's the mentality of a hypocrite. They are trying to sell themselves so that they can look good to others. So we know that there are reasons that individuals don't come to church. In the Homiletic Magazine, one of the resources that I subscribe to in developing my sermons, they went among the office staff and they interviewed them and they said, how many of you have ever heard it said that people don't come to church because there were hypocrites? And they had all heard that. So they went out and did an interview and they asked individuals, why is it that you don't come to church? Or why is it that you have stop coming to church? And sometimes, would you believe it, that one of the reasons sometimes is they don't like the preacher? That the sermons are not relevant. The theology is contrary to how they feel. Too conservative, too evangelical, too liberal. All of those issues. Sometimes individuals choose not to come to church because they don't like the children's program. They don't like the youth program. Isn't it amazing? I don't think anybody said anything about the choir director, but maybe they don't like the music. And so when we think about those things, it causes individuals to make an excuse. Realize that they are very varied. This morning I went to a couple of our Sunday school classes. And I basically said, look, we know that Main Street United Methodist Church is not perfect. It's not the most perfect place to be. And we have some areas that we certainly need to improve upon. And you probably are more aware of those areas than others. And I'm the chairperson of the nominations committee. And so if you know if there's some areas in our church where we need to improve, would you volunteer your leadership to help us to become a better church? I'll never forget, there's a young lady at one of my very first churches. I don't know in 5 years of being the pastor of that church if this lady came to church 5 times. But I do remember one Sunday morning when she arrived with her new baby. And the next thing I heard, oh, she won't be coming back to church again like she was wearing out the hinges of the door to start with. But she won't be coming to church because there was no one there in the nursery to sit down and read stories to her baby. Now, this baby had to be 2 months old. But she was so adamant that for her daughter's mental development, that somebody in the nursery needed to be reading to her baby. Now, you realize how many volunteers we have in the nursery or how many individuals we have and how many babies we have. It just wasn't practical. So, I guess my memory tells me anyway that sure enough, she didn't come back to church. We didn't read to her baby. That was the end of that. As we think about those issues and those reasons, and the part that we play in being faithful, being diligent, a minister told this story that one day he was at the library and he was doing some research on a sermon that he was going to be preaching. As he was leaving the library, there was a homeless guy that was coming by him there on the exit from the library, and the homeless person was pushing a grocery cart, and he hit a crack in the walk and turned over his buggy. There on the pavement fell all of his worldly belongings, all the glass as it hit the road, and the preacher was sitting there and he said, oh, great. And he began to thump his hands on the steering wheel while this man began to awkwardly walk around and pick up his buggy and begin to pick up his goods. He said, when a lady in the car behind him, who was dressed very nice, and his statement was, from the appearance of things, I suspect that she smelled a whole lot better than a homeless person, ran over to the homeless man, and she too began to help him pick up his items and put them back in the buggy. And as they got everything together, she also helped him to lift his buggy up over the crack in the walk and to get him safely to the other side. And the minister said, "I've heard sermons before, but I'd a whole lot rather see one. Never in my life have I felt more like a scribe or a Pharisee." At my church, Wesley in Hartsville, I received a call one evening that there had been a murder. One of the men that had meant so much to the life of that church, who ran a business there in town, he and his wife were there to support many of the programs of the church. In just a few weeks, they'll be having a pumpkin patch, and he would always donate the wooden racks that you'd put the pallets that you would put the pumpkins on, and he would donate the hay and the corn and all that to make the arena, the yard section there, look so much more inviting. Had turned around to pick up an item off the shelf that someone had asked and was brutally hit in the head and killed. Killed by a man that had been out of prison just a few months. It caused all types of problems within the community. Was already on a crime spree. As I was talking with the family and the son of this murdered father, we were sharing, and the community was just torn up. The church was grieving. We had lost someone dear to us. Casey looked at me as we talked about the funeral, and Casey said to me, "Pastor, my daddy would not want this community torn apart with anger. My daddy would want this resolved in as constructive of manner as it could be, for healing and restoration to take place as best it can whenever the murderer is caught." I looked at Casey and I said, "Casey, those words don't need to come out of the mouth of a minister. Those words needs to come out of the mouth of the son whose daddy's body we're putting in the ground." On that afternoon, as we stood in that country cemetery, as I stood there and I called Casey to come and tell the story I just told you, Casey was shaking, full of fear. He was not one accustomed to standing in front of a crowd. And he told that story that I just related to you. Another one of my minister friends was standing beside my wife at that time, and when Casey finished telling that story, he leaned over to my wife and he said, "Wow, I think God just showed up." You see, we are going to be a part of injustices in life. We are not the perfect church. You and I are not the perfect Christians. It's not that we are endeavoring to be hypocrites. We are human beings with strengths and weaknesses, with pluses and minuses. But the reality is that we are on a journey. A journey of faith that's going to take us safely to the other side. A faith that is going to sustain us in the issues of life. Let us choose our role in this passage of Scripture that we've read today. Let's think about the part we want to play. And let's be diligent in doing the Master's work. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive now the benediction. Go forth in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.